Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy Monday. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Back at it with you here. First Monday of the month of August. August 7th edition of Spencer on Sports, coming to you live from the Circus Sports Iowa studios here on 1600 KGYM. Also find us on the FM dial 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City. Streaming worldwide, of course, KGYMradio.com. There's a big purple and white button at the top of our homepage that says Listen Live Now. When you go to our website, you should click that, and that will get you access to our internet stream. You can also find the free KGYM app in your app store. Download it, like I said, absolutely free. Pull up the stream from wherever you may be. Spencer Wagon here with you, producer Isaac, along for the ride as well. 319-366-1600 is the talk or text line. Lots to get to. Always lots to get to in the 1 hour we have together, but going to make the most of our time together as always here on a Monday with you till 3 o'clock. Debuting something brand new here on the show, and always taking your nominations for this. I'll explain it. It's pretty self-explanatory, but I'll explain it here coming up in just a moment. The good, the bad, and the ugly from the sports weekend. It's very self-explanatory. Something good, something bad, something ugly from the sports weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, something you saw, whether it's local, regional, national, international, I don't know. Love to hear your thoughts. 319-366-1600. I've got three on my mind. You might agree, you might disagree. That's the beauty of sports talk radio. We'll talk about it coming up here in just a few moments. Going to continue our conversation surrounding the fallout of conference realignment. Everything we had talked about on Thursday and Friday, I think we talked about it on Wednesday too, has come to fruition. Oregon and Washington are now members of the Big Ten. Arizona State, and Utah are now members of the Big 12. And the Pac-12 is now down to four, starting in 2024. And there's a lot of rumors about what could happen to the remaining four in Washington State and Oregon State and Cal and Stanford. Try to sort out the latest news and rumors involving that coming up in just a little bit. Also, preseason poll season. I know we love preseason polls around here, but the coaches' poll is out. Another sign that college football is on the horizon. The coaches poll, the USA Today coaches poll is out. Tell you who number one is. You will be very surprised and shocked and stunned who the number one team is in college football. And when I say that, I mean you won't be shocked, surprised, or stunned by who the number one team is in college football to start the year in the coaches poll. Get into that, plus a little bit more baseball talk before we get out of the way and make way for the gym class coming up at 3 o'clock. Again, 319-366-1600. Isaac's here. What's new over on that side of the glass?
Not much. I had Friday off. That was kind of nice.
Yeah, producer Ryan did a great job as always.
Ryan did all right. Yeah, weekend was all right apart from Sunday with the U.S. women's loss there.
Yeah.
That was just about the closest I've ever seen a ball go in the net. Like, you couldn't, I think the Sickos committee tweeted it out, but you couldn't fit a sheet of paper in between the ball and the line there. It was ridiculously close there, yeah.
I'm going to be honest, I did not watch a single minute of that. I probably, if I had known, okay, this is a very American thing to do. If I knew they were going to win, if I had seen the result when I got up on Sunday morning, I would have sought out the replay and watched it. But seeing how they, and not to play spoiler, this is part of my good, bad, and ugly coming up here in just a moment, but seeing how they went scoreless through a full 90 minutes and then played a full extra time scoreless and then lost by the hair on their chinny chin chins. Yeah, that's just, I don't know. I didn't even bother. I'm like, all right, well, they lost. I think, I gave you a little ribbing when you picked against the U.S. all the way back at the beginning of this whole adventure we've been on. But You were right in the long run when it came to this is not going to go well for the U.S., and it certainly did not. But I don't want to go too far into that. That's coming up here in just
a
moment.
You save your content for later. It's all good.
But you will be joining me in a matter of moments to talk more about that. Let's just do that. But interesting weekend when it came to things going down in the sports world. All eyes still on conference realignment. Let's just jump right in. If you got a nomination for Good, Bad, and the Ugly from the weekend, a brand new segment here on this program, Spencer on Sports here in KGYM, 319-366-1600. I'm already being taunted by Cub fans on the text line. This is fantastic. Great start to the day. I was wrong. I will say this. We'll get into the Cubs here in fact, a matter of seconds. If the Brewers keep playing as bad as they do, I said this on Twitter, X Twitter, I don't know what it's even called anymore, at SW on the radio yesterday in response to coworker Todd Brommelkamp. If the Brewers keep playing like they do against bad baseball teams, see the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Washington Nationals, tonight they open a series against the Colorado Rockies. If they keep playing down to the level of their competition, meaning the pitchers do okay, but they give up a key run or runs at times, and the Cubs stay as hot as they are, the Cubs are totally going to win the division. And I don't like to say that, but I have to give credit where credit is due. That is very, very, very true to say. All right. As I was saying, Good, Bad, and the Ugly, brand new segment here on the program. And in fact, this, Isaac, this might shock all of you. And this is for you, 4010 on the text line, who's calling me out for what I said about the Cubs a week or two ago. My good from the weekend is indeed the Chicago Cubs, because they are playing very good baseball right now. And it's incredible how far they've come in the standings. As we open play today, they are tied with Cincinnati, both 1.5 back of Milwaukee in the National League Central. In the wild card standings, the Cubs are tied with the Reds for that final wild card spot. They've surpassed the Marlins, who've had just an awful second half so far. Not true second half, but since the All-Star break, have not been playing very good baseball. But my good from the weekend goes to the Chicago Cubs, and it goes to them specifically because they took 2 of 3 from the red-hot Atlanta Braves, the 70-win Atlanta Braves, a team that's crushing home runs left and right. Their pitching still has some questions. I know they've gotten a few starters back here in the last few days, but at home certainly helped being at Wrigley Field, but winning that series against the Atlanta Braves, especially after on Friday getting just absolutely blown out, a seven-run fourth inning on Friday. Coming back and winning that series is huge for the Cubs and really puts them in position here if they keep doing what they're doing to win the National League Central, at least give them a chance. And 4010 on the text line was pointing out how I said earlier, oh, they only have a slight chance to make the playoffs. Well, at the time, they were at a less than 20% chance, according to FanGraphs, to make the playoffs. They're bumped up to 50% plus. So again, if they keep winning the games they're supposed to win, and they've got, I think, a pretty favorable schedule here coming up, and the Brewers keep, well, not playing to the best of their abilities. The Brewers offense still obviously stuck in the mud. Plenty of rookies on that lineup, but even some guys that you'd expect to step up and do good things, like a Willy Adames in the lineup. This could be a rather entertaining race down the stretch here, and I would not be surprised in the slightest if the Cubs, they're already making the Brewers sweat, but if they make them sweat even more.
Yeah, it feels like, wasn't it early in the season, Todd kept on asking, are the Cubs good? And it seems like we've come full circle where I don't think it's so much a question anymore, though. It seems like they're in a good spot right now. So I think, they deserve to be on your good section for the weekend there.
Cubs are 15-4 since July 18th, 7-3 in their last 10 games. Like I said, tied with the Reds for second place in the National League Central, 1.5 back of the Brewers. And I mentioned the wild card standings as well. Milwaukee Obviously leading the division, not in the wild card standings, but the Cubs and the Reds, both essentially in a virtual tie for that final spot, with San Francisco and Philadelphia making up the other two wild card spots as of this point. The schedule I mentioned, very favorable for the Cubs. They play the Mets, who the Mets have gone into giving up mode. We heard the sound last week about how when they were talking to Max Scherzer about trading him out of New York and sending him to Texas, their intention is to maybe not compete even in 2024, but look ahead to 2025, 2026, which for all the money that they've thrown at all the high-priced players in New York certainly is not what you wanted to see if you are a Mets fan. But the next six are on the road for the Cubs, so we'll see if there's a road versus home differential there. But I think the schedule works out definitely in their favor. The next series they have with Milwaukee is the last 3 days of this month, the 28th, 29th, and 30th at Wrigley Field in Chicago. But the Cubs' schedule leading up to that, three against the Mets on the road, three at Toronto, which I think that's going to be a challenging series. Toronto is playing pretty good baseball. They are currently in the final wildcard spot in the AL, so they've got something to play for there. But you've got the White Sox for two, Kansas City for three, at Detroit for three, and at Pittsburgh for four. Now, I'm not saying the Cubs are going to go out there, and I don't think they're going to sweep every single series, obviously, but considering the opponents, considering in that stretch, you really only have one team that's in any sort of playoff push here, and that's Toronto. I think the Cubs have a pretty good shot to continue to make this a race down the stretch here. And the two series they have left with the Brewers, that one I mentioned, last 3 days of this month, and then the final series of the regular season, September 29th, 30th, and October 1st in Milwaukee. It's going to come down to those two series. I know that's very basic analysis, but Milwaukee is the Brewers and Cubs are the last two teams that can really do anything to each other. The Cubs do play the Reds here coming up September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So they do have another series against the Reds coming up. But beyond that, Colorado, Pittsburgh, seven games against Arizona, who's taken a big step back. They're still battling for a wild card position, but not in the same vein, not in the same discussion, really, when you look at it as to what we saw this past first half of the season, where the Diamondbacks were in first place in the National League West. So it's certainly going to be an interesting race down the stretch here. But my good, that's for you, Cub fans, my good for the week, good, bad, and the ugly, is going to the Chicago Cubs. Bad, I'm going to stick with baseball for bad. And this, I focus specifically on the Angels because they were a very high-profile team that was adding pieces at the trade deadline. But I'm going to go with the Angels in particular. But there are a number of teams who made some moves going into the trade deadline, expecting to bolster their staff, bolster their rotation, and it really hasn't worked out for them. But the Angels are the most high-profile case because they went all in. They opted not to trade Shohei Ohtani, and they have not won a single game since the trade deadline. Now, 0-6 in the month of August, 0-6 since the trade deadline. Angels have not won since July 31st, and they were just swept by a team that, and this is one of those, this is crazy how baseball works, right? You see how, it's baseball is a crazy game. And this was one of those teams that I think was panned by quite a few people for trading away their closer, making some moves, putting some players supposedly on the trade market, the Seattle Mariners. And it turns out the Mariners are having a much better second half, or much better post-trade deadline than the Angels. But the Angels, we talked about them a little bit on Friday's show. Shohei Ohtani hitting his 40th home run through four scoreless innings in Thursday night's game. And then the old tungsten arm O'Doyle meme came to fruition again with Cade Marlowe hitting a grand slam for a 5-3 win. Angels pitching, letting them down in the final three games of the series, 2-9-7, 3-2, and 3-2 in 10 innings. Angels now one game below 500, seven games out for the final wild card spot. And in the division as a whole, They weren't really ever going to be in contention, I don't think, in the division, but they are 10.5 back of Texas in the division in the American League West. So if you talk about bad from the weekend, and you talk about bad just in a context of going all in at the trade deadline, plenty expected of you considering the pieces that you brought in. You look at Randall Grichuk and CJ Krohn, adding pitchers and trying to bolster up your rotation, your bullpen, and your offense, trading away some key prospects for these players. It hasn't worked out for them, and there's still plenty of season left here for the Angels to make a push. But for the most high-profile team, the team that was the subject of conversation because it was a pretty good possibility they were going to have to trade Ohtani, they opted not to. Now they're risking him walking away and them essentially getting a compensatory draft pick for it. And starting off that stretch after the trade deadline 0-6 certainly is not what you wanted if you are Artie Moreno and the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. If we have not faded them already, well, we might need to soon. I was looking at their upcoming schedule. They open a 3-game set versus San Francisco tonight. Then the Angels play at Houston and Texas for 3 games each and host Tampa Bay. So if they don't get it figured out here, if they don't win this series, if at the very least win the series or sweep San Francisco, I don't see them coming out of those series against Houston and Texas, who are both above them in the division. Houston, they've gone 6-0 since the trade deadline. So 0-6 LA after the trade deadline, Houston, or Texas, I should say, at 6-0. Houston's right there getting Justin Verlander back. Houston, 2.5 games back. And even Seattle, got to give them a ton of credit. Again, I said they were kind of panned by a lot of people who follow baseball for making some subtractions at the deadline, but it's actually worked out in their favor here as they sit at 60-52, winners of 8 of their last 10 games. But my bad for the weekend, definitely the Angels, in particular, out of the teams that have struggled on the other side of the trade deadline, the Angels getting swept by the Mariners. And my ugly for the weekend, Isaac, this is what I teased bringing you in for. My ugly, I thought about, and I want to do my own segment on it, that's why I didn't choose it, but I thought about the Tim Anderson, Jose Ramirez fight. That's just more bizarre than anything because I'm sitting at home on Saturday night like, wait, what's going on yeah. right now? There's a lot more surrounding that than I think just a quick mention of it. But my ugly, considering how this went down, considering it was the quest for essentially a three-peat for the U.S. Women's soccer team, them bowing out, earliest exit, right?
Ever
yeah. for the U.S. women's soccer team. And like I said, going full 90 minutes without scoring, going the full extra time without scoring, and then in the penalty kicks, ended up losing in that one to Sweden just by millimeters, right,
yeah.
in that one. And just the overall way it ended for the U.S. women's national team, if you look at the big picture for it, I think that's where I get my ugliness, my ugly of the week goes to the U.S. women's national team.
Yeah, it was the issue that I thought would be an issue ended up being the issue. They couldn't score. We saw it in the mm-hmm. Portugal game. They couldn't score, and we saw it in the Sweden game. They got a lot of shots on target, I will say that. I thought Sweden, they played a lot better than they had in the group stages. In the group stage games. But they just couldn't find the back of the net. And I think, again, it comes back to some of the injuries they came in with. I think Mallory Swanson was a massive, massive loss for them. I think she is able to create on her own very, very effectively. Alex Morgan needs a little bit of service to be able to score goals. And the defenses were able to just collapse on her and not allow her the ball and just kind of deny her. And it was just scoring was such an issue for them. I do think... I think they played actually pretty well against Sweden. Considering Rose Lavelle wasn't available to play due to having 2 yellow cards, I think going to 2 defensive midfielders was smart. I think that's probably about the only smart coaching decision that Flacco made the entire time. He made 2 substitutions in 119 minutes. Bad. Again, subs is going to be, it's going to be beaten to death, and I've said it a ton, but that's just dumb. I don't understand it. Only making two substitutions, that's soccer's a lot of running.
Right.
And so and they have a lot of older players on there, and you have a lot of young attackers. I just don't understand not using those and allowing them time to, you know, affect the game. And then I also think using Rapinoe as an impact sub at this stage in her career was a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
She is clearly past, obviously she's retiring, so right. But she's clearly been past her best, and I don't understand why you would bring good attackers off for someone who has been out of form and not playing well in the tournament. I don't understand the decisions. So yeah, I think it's a fair ugly, just because they left a lot of them on the table. I think they played well enough to win, and they just could not finish and get the ball in the back of the net at all for whatever reason.
One win, three draws, four goals total, and The Athletic says a 238-minute scoreless drought to end the tournament.
Yeah,
that's
bad.
Brutal.
I was listening on the way home from doing running the board on yesterday from the IndyCar race, and I can't remember what show it was, but they listed off a stat in the last 10 like major international tournaments, meaning the Olympics and the Women's World Cup. Vlatko has only had 3 wins in the last 10 games. That is bad.
So, so he's getting fired, right?
Yeah, that is unacceptable. I mean, again, that doesn't mean they lost all of the other 7 games. There's draws and stuff like that. But I think for a team of U.S.'s caliber, you would expect that winning percentage to be around 6 out of 10. 60%, I think, is a reasonable position to be at if you're the women's national team. And so 3 wins out of 10 games is just cannot happen when you have that amount of talent. And I would expect some changes, both in personnel. I think you see Julie Ertz obviously announced that she's retiring from the international team.
Yeah.
Rapinoe's obviously done, period. I think I wouldn't be surprised if this was the last tournament for Alex Morgan. She's getting up there in age a little bit. So I think you'll see kind of a change of generations there with a lot of those recognizable names kind of moving on from the international team and focusing more on club play.
So that's good, bad, and the ugly. Love to hear your nominations at 319-366-1600, 5786, going the baseball route with a response to the good, bad, and the ugly from the weekend. 5786 says the good was Jose Ramirez knocking out Tim Anderson. The bad was Jose going to get suspended, and the ugly is how bad the American League Central is, and you could probably say continues to be. The Twins, 59-54, 4.5 up on Cleveland, who's 54-58. Twins have won 4 in a row. Matt Waller, the walk-off yesterday against Arizona. I mentioned Arizona. They are fading. Remember when they led the division? Now they're, what, 8.5 back of the Dodgers? The Dodgers are doing Dodgers things last night, or this season so far, since the Diamondbacks briefly had that first-place lead. But the Twins, still the class of that division. I want to say they clinched it outright here, because there's still a long season left to go here, a couple months left. But Twins have pretty much all but clinched it here, barring some sort of turnaround here by the Guardians. But yeah, it certainly is interesting to see. We'll get into that that little skirmish, if you will, coming up in just a little bit. We'll do this every Monday, good, bad, and the ugly from the sports weekend. Love to hear your thoughts, your nominations. On the text line at 319-366-1600. 228, we're overdue for a timeout. Get into a little college realignment fallout news coming up in just a little bit. What's going to happen to the rest of the Pac-12? They're the Pac-4 now, and a lot of rumors about what could happen with them. Could they merge with another conference? Could the remaining four just go off and do whatever, essentially, join another league? Is the Pac-12 officially gone, or is the Pac-12 going to say, well, we're going to build this up to 8, maybe 10 teams? I guess we'll find out in the long run, but new news about that. And like I said, preseason poll season. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Spencer at Sports with you here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have a mix of sun and clouds for the rest of the day today. Temperatures will be around 80 degrees and humidity will be relatively low. As we head into tonight, we'll have mostly clear skies and temperatures will be dropping down to a low around 60. Tomorrow, more sunshine, tolerable humidity, temperatures in the low to mid 80s, and we'll then have a chance for rain increasing as we head into Wednesday with a chance for some showers and storms. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Best days ever at the Iowa State Fair. Best days ever at the Iowa State Fair. Best days ever.
The best days ever start August 10th through August 20th at the Iowa State Fair. From heart-stopping adventure to kid-friendly rides, Thrillville, Thrill Town, and Thrill Zone have 9 new rides for your best days ever. Thrilling rides and games aren't the only adrenaline-packed excitement happening this year. Elwell Family Park events will leave you on the edge of your seat with the ATV Big Air Tour, UTV ATV Cup races, tractor pulls, and a demolition derby. Get your advanced Thrill Park passes today. Visit iowastatefair.org for special savings on Thrill Park passes and discounted Elwell Family Park tickets now through August 9th. Start planning your best days ever today, August 10th through August 20th at the Iowa State Fair.
Best days ever at the Iowa State Fair. Best days ever at the Iowa State Fair. Best days ever.
Back in 1944, there was a young watchmaker named Willa Dickens. He had his eye on a local jewelry store. As soon as their watchmaker left, he took the position. Worked long days, learned the ropes, and achieved his dream of owning and running Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. When his sons Terry and Tim could barely see over the jewelry cases, they began learning at his side. It's the Dickens family that gives Hertine and Stocker Jewelers its unbending reputation for integrity. They also offer a brand of service that hardly exists anymore, like a layaway program. When someone finds a beautiful something to have or give, they put some money down, pay on it each month, interest-free of course, and when it's paid for, it's theirs for keeps. Stop by, see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City, and step in and say hello to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Make sure your cooling system is ready for the long haul this summer with preventative maintenance from E&J Geothermal. This smart step keeps you ahead of frustrating emergencies, is proven to extend the life of your cooling system, and can catch a small issue before it turns into a huge expense. Plus, E&J Geothermal is an expert in helping maintain your cooling system. Don't let the summer heat win. Schedule preventative maintenance today or ask E&J Geothermal about installing a new energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
2:32 on the button. Spencer on Sports back with you here for a Monday, 7th day of August of 2023. 319-366-1600. Gym class on the way between 3 and 4. Back live with you after a best of show on Friday. Todd Brommelkamp in between 4 and 6. Be sure you tune in all this week to the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Fry Fest High Porch Block Party Concert featuring Trophy Dads and Pop Rocks. All this week between 4 and 6, Todd's going to play a game of Family Ties. If you're the correct caller and identify a father or son from the sports world, based on the trivia question, you'll win that 4-pack of tickets. The concert coming up Friday, September 1st. In Coralville, right after the festivities at Fry Fest. More info is available on our website, kgymradio.com. Going back to the text from 5786 earlier, just saw this come across from Jesse Rogers at ESPN. Major League Baseball announcing the suspensions after the brawl in Cleveland Saturday night. Tim Anderson suspended 6 games. Jose Ramirez suspended 3 games. Emmanuel Clase, Pedro Grifol, Terry Francona, and Mike Sarbaugh all suspended 1 game. So Tim Anderson getting the most, Jose Ramirez not unscathed, getting suspended 3 games as part of it. You know what? I was going to talk college football, but let's just go into it. Since we're already on the subject, a quick pivot here. Talk a little baseball, continue our baseball conversation into this. This is an all-timer. I got to play you this just to set the scene. You may have heard this if you're... I know we have some Guardians fans who listen. to the program who've chimed in before. But if you've not heard this, it's been all over social media this weekend. This was Tom Hamilton, the Cleveland Guardians radio announcer. This is courtesy of Guardians Radio Network and Bally Sports as well. This is what it sounded like. And I watched, there's like a 3-minute version of the video. There's like a 6-minute version of the video that just went on and on. I was watching this on Saturday night on Twitter at home, watching a completely different baseball game. I'm like, what is going on in Cleveland right now? But this has got to be an all-timer when it comes to sports calls. You know the great sports calls in sport, you know, in history, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, whatever. Think of that, but this is for a completely different reason. And Tom Hamilton from the Guardians Radio Network calling what turned out to be boxing night at the ballpark. We'll call it that from Saturday.
Down the right field line, kicks into the corner. Ramirez on his way to second. Head first slide, safe, and in to score is Jimenez. And another hustle double. Right over the bag at first. Now Hosey and Anderson square off. They're fighting. They're swinging. Down goes Anderson. Down goes Anderson.
Was it Howard Cosell who had the down goes Frazier? Down goes Frazier. Yeah, that's an all-timer. Usually the best calls in sports are reserved for, you know, home runs, winning the Super Bowl, massive dunks, winning an NBA championship, I don't know, whatever it might be. But that is A-plus work from Tom Hamilton there from the Guardians Radio Network. Tim Anderson of the White Sox, we just mentioned the suspensions that were handed down, but Anderson and Jose Ramirez took part in this actual on-field brawl Saturday night in Cleveland. Saw Anderson essentially all but laid out by a right hook from Ramirez. And this is next level. You see the dugouts clear. There's a little dust up every now and then, some arguing, some pushing. This is next level. And I think you talk about all-timers, this is going to go down as being one of those ones that you talk about greatest brawls. If there ever is such a thing, I'm sorry for not being able to speak clearly today. You're going to be seeing the highlights of this in not a good light on TV, and people are going to be, remember that time Jose Ramirez and Tim Anderson duked it out on the field? All told, this lasted 15 minutes, included multiple incidents too after the initial one. Anderson was basically carried off the field and told get out of here. He came back on the field. And six total were ejected from this. Anderson and Ramirez obviously both ejected from it. And we mentioned the suspensions with Anderson getting 6 games and Jose Ramirez getting 3 as part of this. This is how it breaks down. This is Jose Ramirez afterward through his interpreter talking about why he's had to say something to Tim Anderson and basically the purpose of lashing out, going after Tim. Here's Jose Ramirez and his interpreter after the events of Saturday night.
Bueno, yo entiendo que él no está respetando el juego. Vino no desde ayer, sino que viene haciendo eso desde hace tiempo. Y se le ha hablado. O sea, yo mismo le he dicho a él que no puede hacer eso porque que puede lesionar a los muchachos. Aquí todo el mundo anda atrás de un futuro. Tiene familia, tú sabes, a quien mantener y todo. Y es algo que, coño, hay que cuidarse. Y yo entendía que lo que él hizo no está bien. Y también me pegó muy fuerte a mí, se lo corregí. Y es lo que me invitó a pelear. Entonces, si me invitó a pelear, ya tenía que ejecutar.
I think he's been disrespecting the game for a while. It's not from yesterday, but from before. And I've been having the chance to tell him during the game, don't do this stuff, that's disrespectful, don't start tagging people like that. Because in reality, we're here trying to find ways how to provide for our families. And when he does the thing that he does on the bases, he can get somebody out of the game. So for me, I was telling him to stop doing that. And then as soon as the play happened, he tagged me again really hard, more than needed. And then he had reactions like he said, I want to fight. And if he wanted to fight, I just had to defend myself.
He's been disrespecting the game for a while, And basically all started because of a hard tag, a perceived hard tag. I'm obviously not Jose Ramirez. If I was, I'd be millionaire hitting baseballs out of the stadium in Cleveland. You would not be hearing my voice on this radio station. But I feel like there's a better way to handle this, but sometimes stuff just boils over. I'm not trying to make excuses for it. I don't like to see this in the game. You never want to see like an all brawl happen on the field. But as kind of an independent observer, it's actually kind of entertaining.
Yeah, when your teams aren't involved, sometimes it's like, oh, that's funny. I think I was at the Colonels game, and I just checked my phone. I was like, oh, there is a fist fight that just broke out. I was my girlfriend and I were on the way home, and she's like, why was there like a straight up fight that happened? Like someone got knocked out, sort of thing. I was like, I honestly couldn't tell you, but yeah, I mean, only he knows, I guess, what sort of disrespect is going, what he means by that, but it is. It's kind of unfortunate every now and then to see some things boil over to that limit. But again, when it's not your team, it's kind of a little bit side piece of an enjoyment. It's kind of maybe some sick enjoyment out of your like
sickos committee baseball stuff with that. But that was Jose Ramirez and his interpreter giving the underlying reason as to why Jose stood up and ultimately took a swing at Anderson. Pedro Grifol, the manager, mentioned he was suspended for one game with the suspensions announced earlier today. Grifol said this, and spoiler alert, he didn't say much.
I just saw them getting after it at second base, and that's all I saw. And I'm not going to really comment on anything about the brawl.
You got tossed, or do you know what the reason was?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that. I'm going to let MLB figure this out. They got some work to do.
Was there anything that led up to those two guys? Was there earlier?
You know what? I believe so. But again, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to let MLB do their, investigation. Watch the video. Discuss it between themselves, and they'll come up with what happened. Well, they always do, and it's always on point. So I'm going to let them do their job and. We'll discuss this at another time.
White Sox manager Pedro Grifol not taking liberties, and he don't want to talk about it. MLB will decide what's going on. Well, yeah, they will, but you can't comment. You got suspension out of this. Shouldn't you be able to comment on why you felt the need to be into this brawl on the field? I don't know. It just seems like I understand the no comment part, but. Well, yeah, just doesn't make sense to me. And it just makes even less sense to me when you hear his counterpart, Terry Francona of the Guardians, saying this.
I mean, I didn't appreciate the fact that I thought Anderson, once he had like 11, 12 guys in between him, that's when he started.
John.
Yeah, and I said something to him. I think that's probably what their manager was yelling about, but... it's hard because it's hard to let somebody speak to you like that and not say anything. So that's emotions. That's okay.
Francona seems to have kind of what happened all squared away, at least in his mind. I'm not sure how Pedro Grifol said, no comment, I'm going to let MLB sort it out. You were part of it. You saw it. You should know, right, your player, if they have some sort of history with the other guy. I was kind of surprised because I didn't think there was bad blood. Maybe I don't pay attention to the Guardians and the White Sox enough. I don't know, but I didn't know there was like a beef at all, a pre-existing beef at all.
It seemed just out of nowhere.
Between Ramirez and Anderson, but I don't know.
I would at least want my side out there. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but I would want to be like, oh yeah, I was defending myself, my sort of stance. They were being rude to me, I don't know. I guess that's just what I would do in that situation, but I wouldn't just want to be like, no comment and let the other people all just kind of paint me in a bad light. That just seems like sends the wrong message, I suppose, because then it just makes you seem like you kind of initiated it and were the ones who kind of started jawing. So I guess I don't understand that perspective.
I'm not a baseball manager, obviously, but all you really need to say there is, well, I was defending my players.
Yeah, exactly.
Leave it at that. Well, I was defending my players. We don't feel like that's, should be part of the game. We take offense to
whatever
Jose Ramirez taking a swing at one of our guys, so we're gonna go out there and support a teammate. I don't know, that feels like the stock response you usually get in a situation like this. Not saying a situation like this usually happens, but thought Pedro Grifol's kind of, well, we're not quite sure No comment. MLB is going to sort it out. Just seemed kind of silly to me. But in case you missed it, I mentioned it a few moments ago, Tim Anderson getting a 6-game suspension. Jose Ramirez getting 3 games. Grifol, Francona, Emmanuel Clase, and Mike Sarbaugh all getting a game each. Major League Baseball announcing that earlier today. All right, 2:43. Coming up on 2:44, we'll take a quick timeout and move aside baseball and get into a little college football. Some new stuff from Pete Thamel. If this comes to fruition, ESPN's Pete Thamel, college football reporter, if this comes to fruition, I mean, we already know geography makes absolutely no sense anymore. It does not matter anymore when it comes to college sports, particularly college football, especially with the latest rounds of realignment. If what Pete Thamel just reported does end up being true, this is going to be probably the wildest round of conference realignment we've seen yet. I'll get to that coming up in a couple minutes. Spencer on Sports with you here on KGYM.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life.
So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Drive for Lives, August 15th at Hunter's Ridge Golf Course, and enjoy a day on the green supporting the Cedar Valley Humane Society. Sign up as an individual or team of four. Registration is at 11 a.m. Shotgun start at noon with cart, lunch, prizes, and more.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank is a true community bank, believing service still comes with a local touch. Since 1924, Fairfax State Savings Bank provides secure, honest, relationship-based banking. They understand the little things that make our community special. Strong personal connections, sincere friendliness, and a sense of pride in local growth. And that's how they've succeeded for nearly a century. Learn more at thebankhere.com. Fairfax State Savings Bank in Fairfax, Amana, and Cedar Rapids. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Network Computer Solutions, this is Patty.
When you call NCS, Patty answers the phone, looks into your concern, and lets you know how soon one of their local techs will help. It's the human side of IT and the way Network Computer Solutions has been doing business for 15 years. This high-touch approach makes an uncustomary difference for their customers. See how they can make your business run smoother at ncsei.com. Network Computer Solutions. Their people are the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Guys, it's show-off season. When you're on the water or the road, you want your boat, motorcycle, or convertible looking sharp. So get it into Auto Interiors and Convertibles. They're the spiff-up experts. Auto Interiors and Convertibles will repair or replace boat seats or covers, motorcycle seats, convertible tops. They even do complete classic car restoration. Make everybody wish they had your toys. Get them into Auto Interiors and Convertibles, right off 380 at the H Avenue exit in Cedar Rapids.
Your next success begins with University of Maryland Global Campus, an accredited state university for more than 75 years. UMGC has been giving working adults the affordable online education you need to reach the future you want. Because the path to success is different for everyone, we offer more than 125 undergraduate and graduate degrees and certificates, along with success coaches and lifetime career services. Our online and hybrid courses let you learn on your schedule. No-cost digital materials in place of most textbooks, affordable tuition, and financial resources make UMGC accessible. You know what it feels like to succeed. We'll help you succeed again. Too late isn't in your vocabulary. Reach your next goal at University of Maryland Global Campus. Apply now and save with no application fee. Undergraduate and most graduate courses start August 16th. Learn more at umgc.edu, certified to operate by CHEV.
2:47, back with you here on KGYM. Spencer at Sports with you for a few more minutes, taking up till top of the hour, 319-366-1600. Diving into a little college football here, and as I mentioned, boy, if this comes to fruition, ESPN's Pete Thamel reporting this, with the remaining, well, let's say two of the remaining four from the Pac-12, like I said, going into break, we know geography means absolutely nothing anymore in college sports. If this comes true, and what Pete Thamel says sources are reporting, boy, I don't even know what you call it anymore. Pete Thamel said, in the next 24 hours, there are two calls for the ACC. Yes, the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference, to vet and have early exploratory discussions on the potential additions of Cal and Stanford. Cal and Stanford. Berkeley and Palo Alto, California. Potentially joining the ACC. Huh? What are we doing here? Like I said, I mean, Oregon and Washington, USC and UCLA are now part of the Big Ten. They will be in 2024. Big 12, I mean, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, say what you will about those teams joining the Big 12. I think they make some sort of geographical sense considering where the Big 12 is. Yeah. Rutgers and Maryland are in the Big 10. I mean, that's been true for 9 years now, so we can stop, harping on that. But it's exploratory. It's not a done deal. There are plenty of other rumors out there. I read something from 24/7 Sports that the American Athletic Conference, the AAC, is also, well, should we offer these Pac-12 schools? Like the AAC that just lost a bunch of teams to the Big 12. Imagine the downgrade, right? For Cal and Stanford, Washington State, Oregon State, all due respect to those programs, they're not on the same level as a Cal, Stanford, or even a, Oregon and Washington. Imagine the downgrade going from the Pac-12 to the AAC. It's a home, right? But at the same time, it's a home. It's not what you want, not what you wanted, considering all sources indicating that up until the 11th hour on Friday morning when this supposed meeting happened to sign the grant of rights for the Pac-12 and see kind of play this out with the Pac-12 media deal in Apple, which paid significantly less than what the counterparts in, say, the Big 12, the SEC, the Big 10 were all getting. Going from that and then the 11th hour decision of Washington and Oregon to say, well, we're leaving for the Big 10. And now only four teams left in the Pac-12 as of 2024, and now potentially the ACC scooping up a couple of the teams. It just, we don't have a ton of time here, but it's sad, man. It's reality, and I said this a couple different days last week on the show. It's just, this is where we are in college sports, and It's going to take some getting used to. I said this when the Big Ten Network tweeted out the new map on Friday, including Washington and Oregon, the conference stretching from Seattle, Washington to Piscataway, New Jersey, and everywhere in between, including right here in eastern Iowa. Someday it might make sense, but right now it sure doesn't.
At least it makes more sense than the ACC, I suppose. ACC. You can say, just because there'd be a wide gap in
Stanford,
the westernmost school to
can't wait for that
Cal and Stanford,
that Pitt football at the Stanford game.
Yeah, it's we talk about the travel for teams now in the Big Ten, but man, that'd be brutal for Cal and Stanford, because there were at least in the Big Ten now, there's going to be some West Coast teams for them to travel to that are somewhat close by. For Cal and Stanford, they have their home games and probably games against each other, and then they're constantly going all the way to the other end of the country. That would be absolutely brutal from a travel perspective.
Yeah. So, you have the ACC, Clemson, South Carolina with the Cal Bears coming in. And that's if Clemson stays in the ACC, because it sounds like Florida State is unhappy. We know that, with being in the ACC. And if Florida State leaves, I think
Clemson sure.
probably
yeah.
leaves. Mm-hmm. So what does that, make for the ACC? Does that mean the Big Ten and the SEC start to grab everybody up and we just become full, one conference is this, one conference is that, and then schools like, or conferences like the MAC and the Conference USA and the Sun Belt, they all just, they're there, but they're, obviously not on the same plane as the rest of college football, but certainly is interesting. The AAC, the American, discussing what they could potentially do with the Pac-12. The Mountain West also saying, well, should we just merge with the Pac-12 and create, Mountain West has 12 now, so create a 16-team league. And again, you go from being in the Pac-12 for Cal and Stanford specifically to the Mountain West, which the Mountain West is a good league, but it's
I'd assume they try to keep the Pac-12 name if they were to merge. At least I would. I mean,
if you're the Mountain West and you could become the Pac-12, like just kind of take on the
Conference of Champions, the history,
right? And I feel like that's the most logical move. But logic doesn't seem to matter anymore. And well, frankly, anything, but especially in college realignment here. But that's from Pete Thamel. It's just sources reporting. There is early exploratory discussions. Not set in stone by any means, but they are looking at the potential addition of Cal and Stanford in the ACC. I think the Mountain West option seems to be the most logical, but again, what do I know? We'll find out as it goes. Surprise, surprise, the number one team in the USA Today coaches poll. You're not going to believe this, the Georgia Bulldogs.
Shock.
It makes their argument. Remember last year after they crushed TCU? Nobody believed in us that we were going to win the national championship. Kind of like with Kansas City Chiefs.
To the Chiefs. That's just what I was going to say.
You remember? Nobody believed in you that you were going to win the national championship? It's going to sound even more silly now, but Georgia, the preseason number one in the USA Today coaches poll. Michigan ranked second, Alabama third, Ohio State fourth, LSU fifth, USC sixth, Big Ten power. Penn State 7th, Florida State 8th, Clemson 9th, Tennessee is ranked 10th. The Hawkeyes are one spot out of the preseason top 25 in the coaches poll. If it was the top 26, Iowa would be in, but they lead the others receiving votes, getting 169 votes in the USA Today coaches poll. The AP poll does indeed come out soon, too. That's a week from today, the AP poll. Comes out. Other notables, Kansas State, 17th. TCU is 16th. Soon-to-be Big Ten member Oregon is 15th. Wisconsin ranked 21st. So the Wisconsin hype does continue. Coaches think Wisconsin is going to be a top 25 team, at least to start the season. I'd be remiss if I did not mention the FCS poll as well, the preseason poll. Coming out for the FCS from Stats Perform, the Northern Iowa Panthers ranked 23rd to begin the season in the FCS poll. South Dakota State, no surprise, they are the unanimous number one team in the poll. North Dakota State, number two. Montana State, third, according to the FCS preseason poll. So there you go. Preseason poll news to wrap up the program here today. A little bit more on the college realignment, of course, tomorrow. We'll cover what it means for bowl games. I saw something interesting from Brett McMurphy earlier today. I want to get to. Didn't have time today, but we'll get to that tomorrow. Take talk some more baseball, and I might even dive into a little NFL season preview stuff as well. Preseason games do indeed start later on this week. So we'll get into all that coming up tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Hope you join me then. Hope you also stay tuned for the gym class. Scott Unesh and Mark Dukes coming up between 3 and 4. Todd Brommelkamp in between 4 and 6. Enjoy the rest of your Monday afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow here in the gym.